Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, Upstate, good morning. Happy Cyber Monday. This is the Tara Show. Tara will be back tomorrow, as far as I know. And, well, the Ingalls Markets talk line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307.
Viva el Presidente!
Of course, though.
Good morning, sir.
I must kick off each hour with a talk with El Presidente. Now, El Presidente, I would like to ask you this. In your administration, would there be an unelected bureaucrat that had served in government longer than anybody else, that made more money than anybody else in government, running the show with a lab coat and a pointy head?
Oh, you really want an answer for that?
I do. I want an answer for that.
I guess it's Fauci.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the thing about the Omicron, and, you know, I guess they've watched too many. You remember Charlton Heston used to make these movies like Soylent Green and all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Where nothing ever was, nothing ever went away. Nothing was ever solved. The Omega Man.
Yeah.
All of this other stuff. All of that would pale in comparison to what Fauci's been doing, where the truth has become stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
And then with the Omicron thing coming out of South Africa, a South African doctor said it presents as a mild disease with symptoms being sore muscles and tiredness for a day or two, not feeling well.
Yeah, that's what is so disturbing to me about the immediate reaction is that so far, from the physicians, in other words, science, that we're hearing out of South Africa is that so far, particularly with young individuals, this is no big deal. Now, is it possible that this could be of greater danger to those of us that are further up the calendar in age? That's entirely possible, but apparently there's no real data on it yet. Now,
You know, if that's the case, that sounds like what happens when I get dehydrated. I get dehydrated a lot.
Yeah.
And I got all kinds of people deciding to call me now
for some
fun reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's time that it probably won't happen with Biden, because with Biden, they would really like to have things stay on an emergency
basis. Absolutely. Of course. Of course. You want the status quo, where you have an unending government reach into pretty much everything that's going on. And then if something starts to look a little bit too good for one political, for one side of the political aisle, then you can ratchet things down again.
Right. So I guess they're trying. I guess COVID never goes away. I guess we're always going to wear masks.
You know, and the scary thing is that this is what a lot of folks have been predicting for quite some time.
Sure.
And, I just.
Now we're being told to wait for 2 weeks now to hear how bad Omicron's going to be.
I know. I'm just like.
It's always 2 weeks.
It's always like Rosanna Dana used to say. Yep. It's always something.
Yeah. And, I haven't gone the route of boosters or anything yet. Because I have had,
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
you know, the I've had the disease itself.
So you've had the real deal. So you should have the actual natural immunity.
Right.
Okay. And that, see, that's something I still don't have not seen a lot of information about, as to whether or not natural immunity is as good or is better, which you would assume that it would be, than the vaccinated immunity.
Right. Well, that's also, and I mean, Rand Paul brought this out too.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a variation of SARS-CoV.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is SARS-CoV-2.
Mm-hmm.
And with SARS-CoV, which was supposedly a much more dangerous thing, I think the immunity that they got out of that was considered to be like 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And this was put before Fauci. Except the problem that I have with Fauci is that he's out there and he looks at these. He's out there saying, I am science.
Yeah. And the thing is that science sometimes doesn't know. This is the problem that I have with so much of what is going on between the CDC, the WHO, Fauci, Congress, the Biden administration, everything. Stop telling me things that are facts that you do not know. It's okay to say, we don't know. It's okay to say, we think this is it, but we don't know. And I just think that they have done the U.S. public a great, and the world public, a great disservice by claiming to know things as facts and declare it is science, it is settled, you may not even discuss this any further, and then it turns out it's not true. And then you have to go back, and they're backtracking and trying to, you know, spin this into, well, yeah, well, I know we said this is so, but now we're saying it's not because we didn't know to begin with when we said it was so. And it's just, I don't know, it just, to me, just continues to fan the flames of doubt in the whole bureaucracy.
Well, that always does be a thing. But, I mean, they're going to have to do something soon about these unelected bureaucrats, because this is going to come to a head.
Well, the U.S. public is doing something about these, and quite honestly, the world population is doing something about these unelected bureaucrats. They're ignoring them, you know, and it's because, you know, listen, I have been going around doing pretty much my life has gotten back to normal over the past 6 to 8 months. You know, once the vaccine and shot number two was done for a vast majority of folks in the environs in which, you know, I reside, there are very few people wearing a mask. There are very few people worried about washing their hands or, you know, hand sanitizer or any of the other things that we were going on and on and on and on about. You know, sure, you don't see maybe people as much as often as usual shaking hands anymore, but that's about the extent of it. And I've, you know, this whole Omicron or whatever it's called that's coming up now, this doesn't seem to be registering with the American public and the world as a whole. And in fact, I'm also seeing news of worldwide of these people, the populations that are completely rebelling against any further lockdowns, any further mandates, any further intrusion into their lives. It is at a point where a lot of the population is simply saying, look, we're just going to have to deal with this and let's move on.
Indeed. Indeed. That's the problem, though. Well, that decisiveness.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the way they try to play this game is that there's never anything decisive done.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's never anything absolutely put together in such a way that it has an ending point.
Right.
They want to leave everything open-ended for some stupid reason.
Yeah.
Well, I know what the reason is. It's not like I don't know what the reason is. I just see this. It just continues to amaze me every time we look up. Here's Fauci saying, well, I'm sorry to tell you, America, but now there's another thing that has come out about the COVID-19. And, you know, it's like they look at this as the gift that keeps on giving.
Atlas shrugged.
So, I guess this is Fauci shrugging. Okay. All right. I am good to go.
All right.
It's been a blast.
Thank you, sir.
We'll do it again as we go through the holidays, I am sure. El Presidente. When we get back, we're going to talk a little more about Fauci. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. Mingo's Markets talk line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Go on to the phones. Let's talk to Jim in Simpsonville. Yes, sir.
Hey, good morning. I don't listen to WORD too often, but I happen to be in the car today and heard y'all. There are a ton of resources for studies on COVID-19 and everything. A couple of sources you ought to look at. There's a book out by Steve Dace called Fauci and Bargain. It's available on Amazon. It's got tons of references. And then another good follow would be Daniel Horowitz on Twitter, and that's at RM Conservative. I heard you say that you've already had COVID. I would not recommend you getting any boosters. There's natural immunity studies out there showing 15 years of immunity from SARS-1 back in the early 2000s. There's still people with what they call T-cell immunity from SARS-1 that are not getting COVID-19 because they already have natural immunity from the original.
Right.
So there's really no reason to be concerned about the Omicron variant or anything like this. It is all a government overreach, wanting power and control, but there's really no science behind any of this.
Well,
say it's not serious, but it's manageable with early treatment rather than vaccines.
If they would allow it, if they would encourage it, right?
That's right. Early treatment part of it. Yes, you're going to have to go to second sources to get early treatment. I got hydroxychloroquine when I got COVID, and I was better in literally 2 or 3 days. It was great. You can get ivermectin. There are places to get it. You just have to find a doctor that will do it, or there's another. There is a place in Florida that will compound ivermectin to your body weight. It's a website called 7cells.com. And they have, you can get it. It's a $25 fee for the consult, and then they will take some information and send you ivermectin. So there's some sources there. Fluvoxamine is another good early treatment. You have Pepcid. Pepcid actually has an ingredient that helps with the inflammation that has been shown. So the FLCCC .org is another place that has all the early treatment things, and a lot of them are still over the counter. So you can get quercetin, you can get zinc. So there's a lot out there for people if they will do the research and turn off their television. That's the key.
You said you got hydroxychloroquine. You got that here in the Upstate?
Yes. I had to go to American Frontline Doctors for the telehealth visit, but there are 5 or 6 pharmacies that will absolutely fill it. Okay. If you're, I hate to say them on the air because then I'm afraid.
Well, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I was just curious about that because I have never spoken to anybody that actually took it. I've heard about all kinds of people taking it. I've never spoken to anybody who's actually taken it. So,
oh man,
it was
great. I mean, I literally got my sense of taste back 6 hours after I took my first pill. I mean, it was a miracle. I mean, it's not really a miracle drug. The mechanism of action makes scientific sense as to why it works. So,
I understand.
Once again, it's people that just don't do the research and don't listen and have the government, you know, they're waiting for people to tell them what to do instead of searching on their own.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. This is the thing, and this is one of my points that I make all the time, and you tell me what you think about it. I'm about to run out of time, but our medical professionals should be being encouraged to help us with this stuff because it is sort of risky to go out there and do that sort of self-treatment, or at least it is in my opinion. And if this is actually something that works, which it works, it worked with you. We know people that have taken ivermectin. Joe Rogan he did that, and he got better from that. And all of the misinformation put out about these preventative measures, it'd be nice if that went away, I think.
Absolutely.
So, in any event.
And I hate to say it, but you're not going to get it from Prisma or Spartanburg Regional. They're on the A train of not recommending. I actually got kicked out of my primary care doctor when I told them I took hydroxychloroquine and it worked. I got a notice of discharge from them saying they would no longer treat me as a patient.
How nice. All right. Thank you very much for the call, sir.
All right. Appreciate it.
That would that's an eye opener. Now that's interesting. I may have to ask my primary care provider about that and find out if that would be the course of action that would occur if I got out there and I did something. Because this is the thing with anything that you're doing for yourself. You should ask questions. You should never just sit there and go, You should never do that. You should ask questions. You got to be able to trust these people, your doctors. You got to be able to trust them. If they do something that you determine is harming you, well, that's not why you go to them. My doctor is a very caring person. She is. But doctors are human. I mean, I had one doctor, I'm not going to name him. I was having a heart attack on his table, and he sent me home. And then a week later, I had the big one. And, that's a mistake that I can't overcome when something like that happens. If you're going to do that, if that's going to be the level of care that I get out of you, well, then I can do that home. I can just sit at home and smoke a pack of cigarettes and get to that point. Thanks. Appreciate it. So you got to ask questions without a doubt. And I don't know. I don't know. The whole idea that the medical profession would kick you out for doing something. You're the client. You are the client. I guess they can refuse service, but you're the client. That's a puzzler for me. I'll be asking questions next time I go. We'll be right back. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. All right. The Ingalls Markets talk line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. It's Cyber Monday. I have to take a break from doctors right now. I'm still reeling from the idea that a doctor would fire you. That sort of angers me. Let's talk about something like a senseless SUV attack. Now, Kyle, this guy, Daryl Brooks, he was math boy fly. He's definitely a leftist. He's definitely a leftist. He's got a, he's got quite the sordid past. Reporter Dennis Wagner writes about this incident. Weaponizing of vehicles is a practice sometimes used by terrorists abroad. But the wanton attacks have also surged in the United States. The increase began after the police murder of George Floyd prompted Black Lives Matter demonstrations, which in turn prompted angry or fearful motorists to run over protesters. Well, that makes it sound like a, you know, some guy pulls around a corner and sees a bunch of protesters and they're not even looking at him and they just got their signs up going, justice for George, justice for George. And they panic and gun it and run over all of these very nice people that have their placards, fists in the air, calling for justice for George, which is not actually how that happens. You know, and their reference point here is Charlottesville, the guy that killed one person in Charlottesville, ramming into them with his vehicle. And, you know, these protesters in most cases are not protesters and they are angry. And some of them show up armed. They pull guns on people pulling up on these protests that they didn't know were there. They were just like, well, I think I need to go get my prescription now. And they head to the Walmart or the CVS, and there's a protest in the middle of them. Very helpfully, a Boston Globe survey identified 139 incidents in which vehicles ran into crowds of demonstrators since Floyd's death in May 2020. Fewer than half resulted in criminal charges. Well, I wonder why that is. What they're trying to say here is that being America at large, you slammed into these peaceful George Floyd protesters and nobody ever got charged for that. Oh, the humanity. Now, the original Globe story that I'm referencing here appeared on Halloween by reporter Jess Bidgood, and sounds a little more like an opinion writer. She began with the usual sympathetic figure, a man who was paralyzed after falling off an interstate overpass while blocking drivers in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Bidgood was outraged that no one was arrested, despite admitting that the red pickup involved felt threatened as protesters banged on its hood and threw things at the vehicle as it moved in. And she wrote, a Globe review of the recent incidents found that there have been scores of people hit, dozens of injuries, at least three deaths, but precious little justice, much less sympathy for the demonstrators injured, killed, or just plain terrified. Yet Oklahoma and 15 other states have considered bills protecting drivers, not protesters, as these ramming incidents have proliferated. Well, here's a problem there, Jess. Here's the problem with this. If you get attacked, right, somebody that would go at a vehicle, a motor vehicle, is of the same mental acuity as someone who would attack somebody running around with an AR-15, in my opinion. Now, there's nothing there that provides that these protesters can't simply separate and let these motorists who are neither part of the problem or part of the protest, they can't just let them go through. But no, there has to be anger towards people just going about their regular business. They have to bang on things. And let me explain something to you. In my world in which I occupy, I know a guy named Massad Ayoub. And Massad is a very well-known gun advocate and Second Amendment advocate. And he does he goes across the country as an expert witness in all kinds of trials. And this idea that you can run up on a car and start beating on the car, he has criteria for this turning into an attack. If they're beating on the vehicle, that's one thing. If they start beating on the glass, trying to get at you or break your glass or something, which is going to cause possible injury to you, now this can be perceived as an attack. And that's the thing that most people don't get about self-defense. It doesn't matter what you intend. If I perceive you to be possibly trying to cause me either imminent bodily injury or death by your actions, I can act. And all of these writers and protesters and activists and everything, it doesn't matter what else anybody has to say about it. That's in the law. If you're going to get out there and block a thoroughfare, where vehicles are supposed to be? I agree. We should be looking out for pedestrians and bike riders and motorcycle riders and everybody else. And by the same thing, the idea that you think that I'm going to see you and you're just going to step out in front of my vehicle, which is a full-size pickup truck. It does have modern brakes, but, you know, they're all based upon my reaction time. You've lost your mind. You have. I'm sorry to say it. So, you know, if you're going to get, and one of the things they're doing is they're trying to take these drivers that are, there's two kinds of drivers running into people. There are attackers like Daryl Brooks, and then there's just people that run into these, and when I say run into, I mean figuratively, they come across these protesters, and these protesters are not, we should not be confusing them with the people that were on the sidewalks at Waukesha looking at a Christmas parade. But that's what they're attempting to do here. They're trying to say that where people are out there, where you know, these people that are rioters and attackers, well, that's not the case. This has become such a big part of their little politicization of stuff. They've got this called the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. And they have been quite delightful for the leftist media, and because they have come out with data that states things like, well, the vast majority of Black Lives Matter protests, more than 93%, have been peaceful. That's stupendous. It doesn't matter if I run into the other 7%, though. If I run into an event that is violent, that's a different thing altogether. These two things, they're trying to take what happened in Waukesha and turn it into what's been happening at these protests where these, and I'll say it, where these idiots get out there and challenge a motor vehicle that's under, it's moving. That's moving. I don't know what anybody expects on that one. On the text line, what would the narrative be if the driver of the SUV was white, talking about the Waukesha incident, and they drove into a parade of happy, innocent black people? It would have been called a hate crime. Absolutely right. But no, we can't have that. This is just a regular civilian out there, and those people watching the Christmas parade were terrorists. It was an attack. Waiting on Santa. You were impeding our view of Santa. Yeah, sure. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. All right. Ingles Markets Talk Line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Normally, whenever I see one of those intrepid bell ringers of the Salvation Army in front of a store ringing their bell somewhere, I will take whatever's in my pocket and stuff it into that bucket. And that is over. I will not be doing that anymore. Because the Salvation Army has turned to the woke side. In order to embrace critical race theory and the Black Lives Matter movement, they have chosen to insult white donors with an anti-racism message. And this is prejudice, by the way, whenever you do that. Whenever you assume that anybody is something based upon race, that is racist. And it is prejudicial. And their message assumes all white people are racist, and it asks that their racism be reflected upon. Salvation Army is very much part of the, it's almost a part of the infrastructure of Christmas. You know, you expect to see them out there in the winter weather, smiling and collecting donations. It's part of the fabric of the season. And they've taken it upon themselves this year to publish a guidebook called Let's Talk About Racism and an accompanying document called The Study Guide on Racism. And the message is that white people are consciously or unconsciously racist, but they are raceless nonetheless. And to its white donors, the essential message is check your privilege. Check my money. Here's the thing. Anybody presuming this, if you don't know what's going on with somebody, what their past is, what they are, who they are, here's the deal. And I would tell this to Henry Rogers, also known as Ibram Kendi. I was bused. I was forced integrated into a black community, into a black school. I didn't know it at the time because that's where everybody went to school. But that's what was going on. And I went to the school. And I had a great time at the school. And I couldn't have cared less that I was in a black community. I couldn't have cared less that I was at a black school. And then I joined the military. And I worked with a cross-section of the entire planet, basically. I had South Koreans and Samoans and Salvadorans and, you know, Puerto Ricans and all manner of Latinos, all manner of Asians. I served with all of those guys. And these guys were not my Asian army buddy. These guys were my brothers. These weren't my black army buddies. These were my brothers. So when you get out there and you make a presumption about everybody based upon what they look like, well, you're going against the very thing that you're supposed to be fighting. You are, in fact, embracing that which you say you are against. According to Robin DiAngelo and Ibram Kendi, they claim that any observable difference in relative behavior or accomplishment between racial groups is due to the inherent racism of whites. Arguing against the traditional American concept of equal opportunity in favor of the Marxist-inspired goal of equality of outcome, or equity, as they would call it. And, here's the thing. That's a problem because there is no equity of outcome. We each are going to do according to our gifts. Some will do well, some not so well, you know? You got to ask the question, are they trying to dry up all their donations? They take a swipe at Sunday school lessons and Christians in particular. Is that just asking for another war on Christianity battle, isn't it? It was Martin Luther King who preached colorblindness. His message was to see the person, not the skin color. And the Salvation Army has decided to see the skin color and focus on that. And the letter sent to donors with the guidebook mentions that it is from the International Salvation Army, provided through its new International Social Justice Commission. This will be an addendum to their international positional statement. So, you know, like a Christian church, if you needed some Christian charity, you would get that individually. Yet, the Salvation Army is asking the people that make this kind of thing possible to lament, repent, and apologize for biases or racist ideologies held and actions committed. Sorry, pal. Not happening. All that you're going to get from me is nothing. You're getting nothing from me. I do not subscribe to your narrative. And you are completely wrong. And if you try to force it upon me, I will show you inequality at that point. And therein lies your problem. For those of us that don't agree with you, what are you going to do? How are you going to force that? Plus, I didn't have a whole lot to do with being Caucasian. Nobody consulted with me prior to my birth. We're all in that same boat. We will either get along or hang together, I guess, huh? Coming up next is the Vince Coakley radio program. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.